Please turn to John chapter 6, and we want to read verses 66 through 69. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. On this particular occasion, Jesus presented some instructions that were somewhat challenging to the people who were present. And you can read what he had to say earlier in this chapter. I think it's interesting that verse 60 says, Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? So when Jesus was dealing with some very important issues, some of the people in the audience found what he had to say to be somewhat challenging. Consequently, notice the reaction of many of the people. Verse 66 says, From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I've said it many times, but in my judgment, that is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. Now, we're talking about followers of the Lord. They are referred to as disciples. Many times, the 12 are referred to as the disciples, but the term disciple refers to a follower of someone else. Specifically, we're talking about followers of Christ. These are people who knew the Lord. They just heard him teach. No doubt they had seen him perform many of his miracles. Yet even though they were the Lord's disciples, many of them turned their backs on the Lord and stopped following him. How tragic that is. I can't help but think that the Lord was affected by that. Look at verse 67. He said to the 12, now this is referring to the apostles, Will you also go away? Sometimes when we're reading scripture, we have to be careful lest we interject our own feelings. We have to avoid that. But I can't help but think that the Lord was affected by the fact that so many turned their backs on him, that he went to the apostles and asked them, Are you also going to leave me? Well, Peter made some wonderful statements that are found in verses 68 and 69. First, in verse 68, he stated that Jesus has the words of eternal life. Now, Peter had just heard what Jesus had to say. Many people were turned off by what the Lord had to say, but Peter recognized the Lord's words as being words of eternal life. Well, Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He's actually referred to as the Word of Life. Well, Peter, I believe, is to be highly commended because he recognized the fact that Jesus has the words of eternal life. In other words, Lord, if we leave you, there's no one else to turn to because you have the words of eternal life. Then he went on to say something else in verse 69. He was speaking on behalf of the other apostles. Peter stated how he was sure that Jesus is the Christ. Not only did he say, we believe it, but we are sure. In other words, we are convinced that you are the Christ. That brings us to the theme of our lesson. Peter was sure that Jesus is the Christ. Now, why are we studying this particular subject? We need to have the same confidence. Because if we don't, we just might do what those people did in verse 66. These were disciples of the Lord, but apparently They were no longer sure that Jesus is the Christ. They turned their backs on him. Well, we certainly can't afford to do that because Jesus has the words of eternal life. So we need to follow the example and be sure that Jesus is the Christ. Peter certainly was sure about that matter. There was no doubt in his mind. He said, "We believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of God." This is not the only time that Peter stated that conviction. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 and read about another occasion. Matthew chapter 16. Let's read verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." We learn from verses 13 and 14 that people were confused about exactly who Jesus is. The Lord asked the apostles, "Whom do men say that I am?" You know, they associated with people. They knew the views of the common people. So Jesus asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In other words, what do people out in society have to say about my identity? Well, the apostles could answer that question. They said there were some who said that he's John the Baptist. Now, by this time, John had been beheaded. But the one who had him beheaded is one who thought that Jesus was John risen from the dead. I'm talking about King Herod. Now, John, of course, was the forerunner of Christ. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would come to prepare the way for the Lord. We read about a prophecy of him in Isaiah, as well as in the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. And John did his work well. He came to prepare the way of the Lord, but he remained humble. He even went so far as to say, "He must increase, I must decrease." So as powerful a preacher as John was, he was a very humble man. Well, others thought that Jesus was Elijah. He was the great prophet that we read about who dealt with Ahab and Jezebel. They were the wicked king and queen of Israel, and Elijah had to deal with them. The people were given to idolatry when Elijah was serving as a prophet, and he had to deal with that. But Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. Some people had the mistaken idea that Jesus was the re-embodiment of Elijah. Now, it is interesting that the book of Malachi concludes with the admonition for the children of Israel to watch for the coming of Elijah. That was a prophecy of John, and Jesus said so. But there were some people who thought that Jesus was Elijah. Others thought that Jesus was Jeremiah. There are some similarities between Jesus and the great prophet Jeremiah. As you study the writings of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he was known as the weeping prophet. And you can almost visualize, as he's writing his information down, tears coming from his eyes. There was an occasion when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. So there are some similarities between Jesus and Jeremiah. Others thought that Jesus was one of the other great prophets from the past. Isn't it interesting how there was so much confusion about the Lord's identity? Now, these were people who were living when Jesus was fulfilling his ministry. No doubt some of them had heard him teach. No doubt some of them had seen him perform his miracles. But they were confused about the Lord's identity. Well, we learn from verses 15 and 16 that Peter was not confused. Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" He's speaking directly to the apostles. And it was Peter who spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we've already pointed out from John chapter 6 that Jesus said, "We believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of God." On this occasion, when Jesus asked, "Who do you say about that I am? What do you have to say about my identity?" Well, it was Peter who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But I want you to notice in verse 17 that Jesus said Peter was blessed for recognizing him properly. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Jesus indicated that Peter was blessed because he recognized him correctly. You know, if Peter could be blessed for recognizing the Lord correctly, that ought to motivate us to want to know exactly who he is and be sure about the Lord's identity. Well, we certainly want a blessing in return. But Jesus went on to say that the Father revealed this information to Peter concerning the identity of his son. He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, that's important. We've already established the fact that Peter was sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. How did he reach that confidence? How could he make such a strong statement about the Lord's identity? Well, it had been revealed to him. And Jesus said that the Father revealed that information to him. Well, that's something that we need to talk about. Let's turn our attention now to an occasion when the Father actually did reveal the identity of his son. Look at the timeline. We just read from Matthew 16. Notice what happened in Matthew 17. At the beginning of this chapter, we read about the Lord's transfiguration. Matthew 17, let's begin at verse 1. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter," notice who's present, "James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." At the transfiguration, God spoke from heaven, identified Jesus as his beloved Son. Peter was present. Peter, James, and John, 3 of the Lord's apostles. Now let's notice how Peter included this in his second letter. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll come right back to the Gospel of Matthew. Let's notice how some years later Peter referred to this in one of his letters. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's begin at verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." So Peter refers to the transfiguration, and he mentioned the fact that God spoke from heaven and identified Jesus as his beloved son. So, remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 16, after Peter said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus blessed Peter. Then he went on to say that flesh and blood had not revealed that information to Peter, but the Father had revealed it to him. Now, what the Lord said in Matthew 16 occurred before the transfiguration in Matthew 17. So it is true that Peter was present when God spoke from heaven and identified Jesus as his beloved son. But Peter was already sure that Jesus is the Christ before the experience at the Mount of Transfiguration. That should lead us to ask a question. How did the Father reveal to Peter the fact that Jesus is his son, that he is the Christ? Well, Peter saw Jesus demonstrate his divine power on many occasions. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, in verses 14 and 15, this is a very short account, but it tells us about the occasion when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. That was a great miracle that the Lord performed where? In Peter's house. It involved Peter's mother-in-law. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Let's read about the occasion when Jesus fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Matthew 14, let's begin at verse 15. Keep in mind what Peter did for a living. He was a fisherman. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give you them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. I have read that although we can't tell the exact size of this crowd of people, probably there were about 10,000 to 12,000 people. We know how many men were there. There were about 5,000 men. That did not include the children and the ladies. So I think a conservative estimate would be 10,000 to 12,000 people. Jesus fed all of those people. They were filled, and there were 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. How much food was there at the beginning? 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's a small amount. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of a loaf of bread, I think about going to the grocery store and buying a package of bread that's already sliced and so forth. And I think about 2 fish, maybe a good-sized fish. No. These were more like crackers and sardines. That's a small amount of food. Yet Jesus fed all of these people. Peter saw that. He saw Jesus demonstrate his divine power. Peter also was present when Jesus calmed a great storm. Since we're in Matthew chapter 14, go down to verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter, notice who's mentioned here. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now Peter did something that no one else has ever done besides the Lord. At least for a little while, he walked on the water. But I want you to notice the reaction of all the people in that fishing boat after Jesus calmed that great storm. "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The apostles were involved. They saw this great miracle. They were convinced, all of them, that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's turn to Matthew 15 and read a few verses starting at verse 32. Jesus had been teaching people and healing people. That brings us to verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." And his disciples say unto him, "Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" And Jesus saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7, and a few little fishes." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. Notice that the disciples were involved in distributing the food on this occasion. Peter was right there, and he saw Jesus demonstrate his divine power. It was through evidence such as this that the Father revealed the identity of his Son to Peter. Now we know that later it was God who spoke from heaven at the Mount of Transfiguration and identified Jesus as his beloved Son. But Peter was already convinced that Jesus is the Christ. He said, "I'm sure of it." How was it that Peter was so confident? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 16 that the Father had revealed that information to Peter. How did the Father do that? It was through the great works that Jesus performed. Peter observed the Lord's miracles, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By the way, Peter never changed his mind. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 for a moment. In this great chapter, we read about the establishment of the Lord's church. The occasion was the day of Pentecost. That was a very special feast day for the Jewish people. It was observed 50 days from the Passover Sabbath, always on the first day of the week. It was at the previous Passover when Jesus was crucified. Now the disciples are assembled together in Jerusalem. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter was given an opportunity to speak. I want you to consider something that he said at the beginning and at the conclusion of his sermon. Look at verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Peter was reminding the people in his audience of just who Jesus is. He had God's approval. On what basis? God had performed great works through his Son, revealing the true identity of Jesus. Peter says, you know about his great works. Then look at the conclusion of his sermon in verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Well, Peter never changed his mind about the identity of Jesus. And he even touched on the fact that God had shown to the world that Jesus is his Son through the great works that our Lord performed during his ministry. So Peter was sure that Jesus is the Christ. He reached that confidence based on evidence. He had seen the Lord perform his great works on many occasions. And it was through those works that the Father revealed to Peter that Jesus is his divine Son. Now, why is it important for us to study these matters? Let's let the Lord explain to us. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Let's read verses 32 and 33. Jesus explained why it's important for us to have the same conviction that Peter had. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Now, Jesus was sending his disciples out on the limited commission. He let them know that they could face some opposition and that they would face some opposition. But he encouraged them to remain faithful. But he also told them to pay the price that would be involved. Let's consider what he said in verses 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now that's why it's important for us to have the same conviction that Peter had. As we confess the Lord before men, we have the confidence that he will confess us before his Father one day. And that's something that we all want. But we have to be mindful of what else the Lord said. He said, if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father. It's important that we have the same conviction about the Lord's identity that Peter had. He was sure that Jesus is the Christ. Well, we need to have that same confidence. How do we gain that confidence? Let's let the Apostle John tell us. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. In these verses, John indicated that he never set out to record everything that Jesus did during his ministry. But he did record certain signs of our Lord, and he did so for a particular purpose. John 20, verses 30 and 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." How is it that we gain the same conviction that Peter had concerning the Lord's identity? Well, we just have to examine the same evidence. Peter observed the Lord's great works. We can read about many of his works in the New Testament, specifically in the Gospel accounts. And that's the same evidence available to Peter. If we will examine it and accept it, it will lead us to reach the same conclusion. Now, the apostles were sure that Jesus is the Christ. Remember in John chapter 6. But what about the other people? There were many who turned their backs on the Lord and walked no more with him. I think it's safe to say that they were no longer sure that Jesus is the Christ. Oh, they had access to the same evidence. They'd seen the Lord's miracles. They'd heard him teach. They'd actually been in his physical presence. But without that confidence that Peter and the other apostles had, they gave up on following him. Well, that's something that we can't let happen. If those people in John 6 who actually heard the Lord and saw the Lord and observed his miracles stopped walking with him, it's possible that that can happen to anyone. So what do we do? Well, we do what Jesus said in John 5 and verse 39. He said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." As we do so, let's strive to do what Peter mentioned in the very last verse of his second letter, that is to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we examine the scriptures and learn about the Lord's great works, that's evidence being presented to us. We have to decide what we will do with that evidence. Will we accept it or reject it? Well, let's remember that Jesus said that Peter was blessed because he was sure that Jesus is the Christ. We want to receive that same blessing today. By all means, we don't want to be like those people who are turned away from the Lord. Maybe you have seen this particular commercial, I don't know, but lately on TV, there's been an ad that's directed toward Jewish people. And the man responsible for the ad has written a book, and he's telling others about how he found Jesus. As I understand it, he's encouraging Jewish people to accept Jesus as the Messiah. But on the basis of what evidence? He tells about a spiritual encounter that he had with the Lord, and that led him to believe that Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament. Well, it's somewhat dramatic, but that's not the evidence that the Bible teaches us to follow. We can have the same confidence that Peter had, but not based on some spiritual encounter. We have to turn to the scriptures and see what they have to say. If we will follow the scriptures, we'll have the same confidence that Peter had. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We not only believe it, but we're sure of it. That's the kind of confidence that we have, that we need to have. We live in an age of skepticism and doubt, but we can be confident concerning the Lord's identity. And if we will maintain that throughout our lives, the best is yet to come. Now, Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, told the apostles to preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The apostles were convinced that Jesus is the Christ, as we've tried to emphasize today. They simply did what he told them to do. They went forth teaching and preaching, and many people became Christians as they told people about what the Lord had done. Well, we need to be thankful for the scriptures that we can study, read about the Lord's great works. And as we do so, the Father is revealing to us the exact identity of his Son. And then we can decide to accept that and be committed to it. Hopefully we all will.